Ramsey TV.
Yeah, maybe I should have said that the inauguration of the new covenant would be the second greatest move of the Spirit. Yeah, well, because, well, I just reconsidered it, and I think that when the Spirit of God vibrated upon the waters following the disruption of the world, it's hard to beat that as a move of the Spirit, which separates the water from the land, brings forth the creation of Adam, not to mention the plants and animals, the flora, the fauna. I went to high school with them, twins, flora and fauna. They never got a date to the prom. It's amazing. It's always that way. The most attractive women, girls, as it were, never get asked to the prom. This is Martin Zender. Greetings to all of you. Finishing the week here. I think I got off by a day. I thought I was going to get my talk on politics in at the end of this week, i.e. today, Friday, but I'm not, so you're going to have to wait for the weekend. I'm going to torture you a little bit. I'm going to give you my take on the political landscape. Everything is going according as planned. Of course, a lot has happened since I talked to you last about politics. It all fits in perfectly. I'm going to give you all the juicy details on Monday. You're going to like it. You're going to like it. In the meantime, I'm going to finish up not on Romans 11:25, because I'm not quite done with the Romans 11:25. When I get back to Romans 11, verse, I think I left off in verse 25, from 25 to the end of that chapter, in light of what I brought to you from Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 36, and what is about to be Ezekiel 39 and Isaiah 43, then it's going to all fit together for you. And you're going to see that Paul's the one drawing from these scriptures. Paul's not making anything up, although he is getting a new revelation in 11:25. Going to get to that. It's a great passage. But he's getting his information from the same place I'm getting my information, this blueprint for the new covenant. So let's go back to Ezekiel 36, verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says my Lord Yahweh, not on your account shall I act, house of Israel, but rather for my holy name, which you got profaned among the nations where you have come. Explained that yesterday. I did. I will hallow my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you got profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know. Going to get to that right now, today, in Isaiah 43. The nations will know that I am Yahweh, averring is my Lord Yahweh, when I am hallowed among you before their eyes. Love that part. Verse 24, then I will take you from the nations. You get the idea here that the house of Israel has been scattered, and he's going to bring them from all the nations and gather you together from all the lands, and I will bring you to your ground. This is none other than Israel. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleannesses. That'll be change of pace. And from all your idle clods, I shall cleanse you. Literal translation, idle clods. You got to love to hate that. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will bestow within you. I want you to notice the pronoun I all the way through. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit will I bestow within you. And I will take away the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. My spirit shall I bestow within you, and I will make it that you shall walk in my statutes. Oh, there's a pronoun you there, but it's based on something that God did. I will make it so that you will walk in my statutes. I will make it so that you walk in them. The reason they're not walking in them now and can't be walking in them now is because he has not made it that way yet. And you will obey my ordinances. Oh, I will make it so that you shall walk in my statutes and observe my ordinances. And you will obey them. Then you will dwell in the land which I gave to your fathers. You will become my people. I shall become your Elohim. Okay, now let's go to Ezekiel 39, verses 21 through 29. I will bestow my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see my judgment which I execute and my hand which I lay on them. Speaking of the house of Israel again, then the house of Israel will know that I am Yahweh, their Elohim, from that day and beyond. And the nations will know that those of the house of Israel were deported for their depravity. I told you they were deported to Assyria because they offended me. so that I concealed my face from them and gave them into the hand of their foes. They were given into the hand of their foes. In my humble opinion, they're still in the hand of their foes. They're becoming more, they have become, and I'm thinking now of the Christian religion, more depraved than the people they point their finger at and say, you're depraved. No, they're more depraved than the people they call depraved. Let's go right to verse 25, Ezekiel 39. Therefore, thus says my Lord Yahweh, now I shall reverse the captivity of Jacob, and I will have compassion on the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. They will bear their mortification and all their offense. That is, they're going to realize how bad they blew it, by which they offended me when they dwell on their ground in trust. So when God brings them to the Holy Land and makes them dwell safely, they're going to not forget their depravity. This is going to be a good thing because they're going to realize that it was God alone who brought them there. Just like Abraham did not forget that he tried to produce a son in the flesh, produced Ishmael. Abraham didn't forget it because it only heightened his joy when he produced Isaac. When I bring them back from the peoples and convene them from the lands of their enemies and am hallowed in them before the eyes of many nations, then they will know that I am Yahweh, their Elohim, common theme here, when, after I had deported them among the nations, I collect them. I collect them. This is what's going to happen after we're snatched away together on their ground and leave none of them behind. Amos 9:9. Not one single grain, not one single individual from the house of Israel that God has predetermined to be part of this great new covenant move will be lost, will be forgotten. I collect them together on their ground, leave none of them behind there any longer. I shall not conceal my face from them any longer when I pour out my spirit on the house of Israel, averring is my Lord Yahweh. So there it is, it's beautiful. Do we have any passage in the Greek scriptures that corroborate this? I'll say we do. Luke chapter 13, starting with verse 23. Now someone said to him, Lord, are few being saved? Everybody wants to know about the numbers. It goes way back. Now he said to them, be struggling to be entering through the cramped door, for I'm saying to you, many will be seeking to enter and will not be strong enough. Verse 25, from which time the householder should be roused and latch the door, and you should be beginning to stand outside. This is the house of Judah in the land. You should be beginning to stand outside and to be knocking at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And answering, he will be declaring to you, I'm not acquainted with you. Whence are you? Then should you be beginning to say, we ate and drank in your sight and in our squares you teach. In our squares you teach. House of Judah. The tribes that returned from the Babylonian captivity that were in the land when our Lord was there. He also will be declaring, I am saying to you, I am not acquainted with you. Whence are you? Withdraw from me all workers of injustice. There will be lamentation and gnashing of teeth whenever you should be seeing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, yet you cast outside. There you go. And here's the parable perfectly illustrating it. And they will be arriving. Here it is. They will be arriving from the east, the west, the north, and the south, and will be made to recline in the kingdom of God. And lo, they are last who will be first, and they are first who will be last. They will be arriving. Who will be arriving? They will be arriving. Who's they? The lost sheep of the house of Israel, there it is. And they, as opposed to the people in whose squares he taught, which was the house of Judah, and they, who these people dare take the first place at the wedding feast, they recline, take the first place. Aren't we great? Yes, we take the first place. Jesus told them not to do that. Luke 14:7. Let me go here real quick. Now he told a parable to those invited attending to how they chose the first reclining places, saying to them, this is at a feast, whenever you may be invited by anyone to wedding festivities, here's a clue, here's a little tip from me to you, whenever you're invited to anyone at a wedding festivity, you may not recline in the first reclining place, lest at some time one held in honor more than you may be invited by him, and when he who invites you and him comes, he will be declaring you, give this one place. And then with shame, you should be beginning to retain the last place. The Zender paraphrase would be, and then with shame you will be slinking away like a snake, like the snake that you are. But whenever you may be invited, going, lean back in the last place, that whenever he who has invited you may be coming, he will be declaring to you, friend, step further up. Then glory will be yours in the sight of those lying back at table with you. Yeah, humble yourselves. That's what we're about, and that's what Israel should be doing. But no. The Jews today in Israel are daring to take the first place. They think they're the people. You can see them in the street, the Orthodox Jews. They have this certain arrogance about them. They walk with their heads high. Bye-bye now. You're going bye-bye. Ooh-ooh. You're going to be outside of the kingdom when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are in the kingdom. And then you're going to see some people coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And who are these people? Oh, these are the people you were looking down your nose at, the goyim, the dogs, or who you thought were goyim and dogs, but who are actually your long-lost brethren from the 10 tribes, coming from Iowa, from Wisconsin, from New Jersey, and they're coming in. What do you know? What a miracle that is. And here it is, finally, in Isaiah chapter 43, the miracle I've been telling you about, and it is graphically described in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, verse 5, God, Yahweh, speaking concerning the house of Israel, do not fear, for I am with you. From the east shall I bring your seed, and from the west I shall convene you. I shall say to the north, give, and to the south, do not close off. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is being called by my name and for my glory, I created him, I formed him, indeed I made him. Bring forth that people, blind, yet there are eyes, deaf, yet they have ears. This is perfect. Paul says this in Romans 11. He says concerning Israel, they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. And yet all Israel shall be saved, as we're going to see when I get to the rest of Romans 11. Oh, am I going to do that on Monday? No, I'm going to give you the politics on Monday, and then on Tuesday I'm going to give you the rest of Romans 11, and we're going to see how it all has fit in with these passages from the Old Testament, from Luke, and here we are in Isaiah 43. So this is amazing wording here. Bring forth that people. What people? The house of Israel. Blind, yet there are eyes, and deaf, yet they have ears. All the nations are convened together, and the folk are being gathered. The folk. He's coming for the folks that have been scattered abroad all these millennium, and the folk are being gathered. Who among them shall tell this? This is going to be the most amazing thing anyone has ever seen on the planet Earth. The difference between the Spirit of God moving upon the waters and bringing the land out of the water, creating the animals, the plants, the flora, the fauna. Both of those girls, lovely girls. Why didn't I ask one of them out? It's always that way. The best-looking girls, the ones you think are untouchable, they don't have a date because everybody's just scared to ask them out. Flora and fauna. Then there's Adam, all that, but see, humanity wasn't there to witness the Spirit of God moving. This is going to be the greatest move of the Spirit that's going to be witnessed by the whole earth. The whole earth is going to see this. Who among them shall tell this and announce to us the former things? Let them give their testimonies and show themselves righteous, and let others hear and say, that is the truth. Others are going to hear, and they're going to say, that's the truth. This is Yahweh. This is the move. This is the new covenant. We heard tell of it. We thought it was a joke because God seemed to be tarrying. 2,000 years went by since the Lord came. He has given up on his people. All expectation looks lost. Ever read Ezekiel 37, Valley of Dry Bones? Just when you think it's lost, here it comes. You are my witness, averring is Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. This is just what Jesus said when he raised Lazarus from the dead. I used that as an analogy before. I said that this is going to be like Lazarus times 100 million. I like the wording here, that you may know and believe me. Jesus said to those standing around at Lazarus' tomb, I don't do this for me. I don't say this. I don't make a production out of this for my sake, but for you, that you might believe in him who sent me, that you might believe. And so this is going to be a great work, Lazarus times 100 million, that you may know and believe me, and you may understand that I am he. Before me, no El was formed. After me, none shall come to be. I am Yahweh. There is no Savior apart from me. I myself tell and save and announce. And there is no alien God among you. And you are my witness appearing as Yahweh. And I am El ever since day was. I am he. There is no rescuing from my hand. I shall effect it. And who shall reverse it? Ooh, nobody can reverse what God effects so much for human free will. I am Yahweh, your Holy One, creator of Israel, your King. I'll end with this, verse 16, Isaiah 43. Thus says Yahweh, who is making a way in the sea. I've been swimming in the sea lately, and there are no lanes. I'm swimming, I'm looking at the shore, I'm trying to stay on track, but I keep going out toward the Bahamas. I keep going out toward Europe. I don't know why I keep drifting, because there's no track in the sea. There's no way in the sea. But Yahweh says he's making a way in the sea. He's making a way there. And in the strong waters, a track. In the strong waters, a track. Wow. Would I love to have a little lane line down there in the ocean like I did at the YMCA, which I quit because those morons were insisting I wear a mask when I do my workout. Not in the pool. Well, that's probably coming. Just a matter of time when they were forcing people to wear a mask in the pool because they're morons. But I quit the place. Well, we're going to talk about that on Monday. Making a way in the sea and in the strong waters of track, who is bringing forth chariot and horse and army and the strong. Together they shall lie down, they shall rise no more. All the things that humans think are powerful, are strong, no. God is the powerful one. God is the strong one. He is going to take that which appears to be weak and he is going to make it powerful. That's what he does. He is going to do the unexpected thing, but you and I are not to be taken unawares by any of it. We are aware of our call. Now we are aware of Israel's call, and we are able now to discern what God is doing. He is the one, capital O. His way is the only way. He will make a track in the sea. He will make a way for the dry bones to come alive. It's by his Spirit, and by his same Spirit, he is causing us to understand these marvels even before they happen.